International news and the United States' role in it was extremely prevalent last week. Some of it involved military action like the bombings in Syria and Afghanistan and a potential standoff with North Korea. To preview what we can expect this week, I'm joined by our BBC correspondent, Rob Hugh Jones. Rob, let's start with Turkey, which held its referendum on Sunday on giving more powers to its president. What are the implications of the results of this vote for Turkey and for the U.S.?
Yeah, this was a really interesting vote, Steve. You've got 51% in favor of President Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, this large country in southern Europe, you know, that's got a foot in Asia, foot in Europe. And 51% of those voters that turned out voted for him. 48% voted against him. And that, incidentally, was exactly the same proportion as the Brexit vote here in Britain last year. It's kind of interesting. But again, there's a very slim margin. And what does that mean? Does it mean that a small majority only gives him a small mandate? Well, that's a question we put to Behul Ozkan, who's professor of international relations at Marmara University in Turkey. We asked him, is this a real victory for Erdogan?
It is difficult to call it as a victory for the yes side because the whole state resources has been used by President Erdogan during the campaign, and the third largest party, the Kurdish party, its leaders are in jail. They cannot make a propaganda.
Which is such a good point, Steve. The state infrastructure in Turkey is very pro-government. I mean, if you look at the media, 80 to 90% of the media in that country is pro-government. So if you're the opposition and you're trying to overturn this result, try and get it annulled as they are, you have got an uphill task ahead of you.
And Rob, now to one of the most unpredictable places in the world, North Korea. What does the week ahead hold in that story in which we're seeing a lot of brinkmanship right now based on what the U.S. is saying and what North Korea is trying to do, it seems?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I mean, you've got the U.S. sending a task force, including an aircraft carrier, to the Korean Peninsula. You've got various U.S. officials saying that if North Korea goes any further, so if it tries testing any more ballistic missiles, or if it does another sixth atomic test, America will go further, but all options are on the table. So there is definite brinkmanship going on here at the moment. And then today, Vice President Mike Pence in South Korea said, we're going to speed up the deployment of this defense shield in South Korea, which will stop in mid-flight any North Korean missiles. Take a quick listen to what Vice President Pence said.
We will continue to deploy the THAAD missile defense system as a defensive measure called for by the alliance and for the alliance. We will continue to evolve a comprehensive set of capabilities to ensure the security of South Korea. And as our Secretary of Defense made clear here in South Korea not long ago, we will defeat any attack and we will meet any use of conventional or nuclear weapons with an overwhelming and effective response.
Some pretty tough talk there from Mike Pence in South Korea today. But you can understand why, because if you're sitting in Seoul, you are 182 miles, and that's all, from where the ballistic missile test happened on Sunday, the one that failed. That's incredibly close. That is, what, Phoenix to Tucson and maybe a bit more. It's really, really close, and it frightens the hell out of a lot of people south of the DMZ, which Mike Pence visited today, so you can kind of understand what's going on. There's an interesting twist in the tale here, Steve, which is that the Trump policy so far has been to threaten military action. However, one of Trump's advisors said, it's time for us to undertake all actions we can short of a military option to try to resolve this peacefully. So actually, if you look below the rhetoric at the top, you seem to see that the policy is still to get China, North Korea's traditional ally, to put pressure on the North, keeping military and economic pressure on. However, as I mentioned, if North Korea goes ahead and carries out a sixth atomic test, what does America and its allies do then?
A lot of uncertainty there, Rob. Let's end this week's conversation by going to France. At the end of this week is the first round of the French election. There have been so many stories related to so many candidates there. Why is this one being so eagerly watched?
Well, before I tell you anything about the election, let me just play you a bit of Marine Le Pen's campaign song. She runs the Front National, the FN, the National Front, the very right-wing group, and she is in the running to be one of the two that advances to the second round of this election on May the 7th. So just take a quick listen to a bit of her campaign song.
On veut le rock FN. On veut le rock FN. On veut le rock FN. Et quand votre Marine Le Pen
So there you go, Rock FN, Rock Marine Le Pen. And 11 candidates are taking part in this first round this coming Sunday. But she is in a great position, along with somebody called Emmanuel Macron, an independent centrist candidate, to advance to that second round. Both of them are on, according to the AFP news agency, which is a French one, both of them are on a roughly 22 to 24%. So it looks like those two may well go through, although there are a few other candidates, including one who's been compared to Bernie Sanders, I should say.
Well, Rob, you have upped your DJ credentials. Our correspondent from the BBC, Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, thank you for the update and the music. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Steve.